You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, guys, and welcome to a special bonus edition of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. This will only be a short little show, reacting, of course, to the trade news across the weekend. Not going to talk about the fake trade that happened, but then didn't happen, including the whole Brooks saga, which was clearly one of the most ridiculous things we've seen in the NBA over the past, I don't know, forever. Just astonishing how stupid some people can be in positions of power, or how big assholes they are in terms of lying consistently to each other and to everybody involved, which is an absolute disaster of a situation. But in the preceding 12 hours, we had a trade actually go down. The Memphis Grizzlies were excluded from negotiations as the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards consummated a deal around Trevor Ariza. We'll talk about that in today's little show. Now, I don't know if Michael Bolton's ready on the weekend.
Let's get to it.
Turns out he is. So let's talk about this deal. Pretty simple deal in terms of pieces. Washington gets Trevor Ariza back. Of course, you remember he was there when Otto Porter was drafted and was the starting small forward ahead of Porter for a couple of seasons before they brought Paul Pierce in for that 1 year. And he returns back to Washington. In exchange, Phoenix gets Kelly Oubre Jr. and Austin Rivers. Now, all three of these players are going to be free agents at the end of this season. Rivers and Ariza are both unrestricted free agents, while Ariza and Rivers are unrestricted free agents, while Oubre is a restricted free agent. So Phoenix will have match rights on his deal coming up. And of course, everyone who's listening to this podcast wants to know what the fantasy impact is. Well, maybe not everybody, but in terms of an actual trade and NBA implications here, it's interesting for Washington. I think it's a little bit desperate to give up one of your only real young-ish type prospects in Oubre. Rivers doesn't really mean that much, but this team has absolutely zero guard depth now. Their guards are John Wall and Bradley Beal, two really high-quality, high-caliber guards, no doubt about that. The backup is Tomas Satoransky, and that's literally it. There are no other guards on this team. And do you consider Troy Brown a guard? I consider him more of a small forward, but he is not ready for consistent NBA action. Trevor Ariza was a shooting guard player 7-8 years ago. He is not that anymore. Otto Porter is not a shooting guard. Jordan McRae on a two-way deal. Do you look at Devin Robinson? There are literally no guards on this team. So if Wall or Beal get hurt, it is going to be a real disaster. Satoransky is going to be playing 40 minutes, and I don't really know what happens in this guard rotation. Will they just have to go with all wings and play more Ariza at the two, which could be, you know, and I think Ariza's turning into one of the most overrated players in the NBA. Now, he's the complete reason Houston sucks. He's going to be the savior for Washington. He's fine. He's solid. He's nowhere near as good as he was a couple of seasons ago, and he's just, I don't know, I feel like he's significantly overrated in his real-life NBA impact. But the Wizards, yeah, they lose two players here, so that's two rotation guys who move out there, and it's 40-plus minutes of playing time that do leave Washington, and that guard rotation is exceedingly thin. We'll get to the fantasy impact in a second. As for Phoenix, again, I don't really know what they're doing. Yeah, Trevor Ariza, I don't know why they signed him in the first place. You get back someone like Austin Rivers, who I am sure is, all he is going to do is impede the development of De'Anthony Melton and Ali Okobo. He's not, you know, a long-term piece for this team. I don't think he makes any of the players around him any better. So you can say, oh, we need him to feed the ball to Ayton or to help Booker or help TJ Warren or McCall Bridges. I don't think he helps any of these guys get any better or relieve any pressure there. I don't really understand that deal. And as for Oubre, I'm not sure about him, but Jackson, Bridges, Warren, they've already got all these wings there. Now, you could make easily the argument that Oubre is better than Bridges or better than Jackson. I don't think he's got anywhere near the same upside as what Bridges does. He's probably got lower upside than Jackson, although I think he's more likely to realize that upside than what Josh Jackson is. But he goes into an interesting situation here, and you would think he's going to be demanding some sort of decent-sized contract, $8 to $10 million a season next season. And I'm not sure the Suns should be paying that sort of a deal when they're trying to develop these other guys on cheaper deals like Bridges and Jackson. Instead of a guy like Oubre, who has struggled and doesn't move the ball at all, has his shooting issues, not a good shooter or anything along those lines. So it is an interesting trade from both sides. I think that this is probably a little bit better from the Phoenix Suns' perspective rather than the one that was initially reported. Getting Oubre back instead of Dylan Brooks, I do think he's a better player than Dylan Brooks. I'm not a massive... not a massive Dylan Brooks fan either. I think he is, Brooks is like a seventh man type of player in the NBA. Oubre could be a sixth man. Again, we're clutching at straws here to find the difference between these guys. But that's the sort of difference that I look at with these players. Now, let's talk a little bit of fantasy impact in this deal. We'll start on the Phoenix side of things. They're squeezing 2 into 1, and that's always important to note, is when it's a 2-for-1 deal, these two guys come across. So you go, Oubre goes from a good team. Wizards aren't a good team, but he goes to a terrible team. Austin Rivers goes and presumably becomes the starting point guard. I'm not sure that's going to be the case, and I certainly hope it isn't. But we're talking, again, 2 into 1. So who is the guy that loses out in Phoenix? Where do the minutes go with these players? I think we're going to have De'Anthony Melton suffer in terms of his playing time. I think Jamal Crawford could be eliminated from the rotation. It's either going to be down to him or Troy Daniels as that 10th man in the rotation. And then a hit on someone like McCall Bridges or Josh Jackson with Oubre around. Now, the report is that Bridges will continue to start, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be playing 30 minutes or not. We've seen plenty of times this season where he started and played 22 or 23 minutes. We're going to see Devin Booker back in action today. Will they continue with the Booker at point guard scenario, or now that Rivers is there, or that Melton has started to show real flashes, will they go with one of those two guys starting next to Booker? That would push Bridges over to small forward and leave Josh Jackson and Kelly Oubre coming off the bench, limiting all of those players. So, in terms of our standard league value, Josh Jackson was a guy I looked to add the other day. If I added him, I'd hold. If I added Melton, I would hold him as well, just to see exactly where this goes. And Bridges, I don't think is really, given what he's had this opportunity to start for the last 3 to 4 weeks, hasn't really done much with it. Yes, Ariza is gone, but Oubre comes in and Rivers comes in, and Rivers coming in pushes Booker from point guard more to shooting guard and takes some of those Melton minutes, and Melton can play shooting guard as well. So it does squeeze some of these existing players. I don't think that Oubre is a must-add 10 team or 12 team. Probably 14-team league, but I'm not sure. I've adjusted all the projections over on Basketball Monster, and Bridges, Oubre, Jackson, and Rivers all come out outside the top 180 for the rest of the season, given how I can see these minutes playing out. Now, they could come in and play Austin Rivers and play him 20 minutes a night, and that would open up a lot more playing time for these other guys. I'm not convinced they're going to do that. We've continually heard the Suns, we need a point guard, we need a point guard, we need a point guard, we need a point guard. And then you get a player masquerading as a point guard. And so I don't think they're not going to play Rivers, because they've been so harping on we need a point guard for the last 5 months. And now they get one who thinks he's a point guard and teams think he's a point guard who actually isn't a point guard in Rivers. And I think they'd have to play him. Now, as for Rivers' fantasy value, last season he played 34 minutes a night for the Clippers and he was the 126th ranked player. He is not a good fantasy player. He had I think he's a real tough, hard-ass player, and I think that's really strong thing about him. It doesn't translate to good fantasy numbers. 15-4 is okay. I don't think he's getting 34 minutes a night in Phoenix. I don't think he's getting that. And also, I don't think he's getting 20% or 20%+ usage that he got with the Clippers. Ayton, Warren, Booker, they're all high usage players. Jackson, a pretty high usage player. I don't think Rivers is going to come in and demand that same level on that beat up Clippers team that he played for last season and get those sort of minutes and numbers. So I don't think he is a 12 team league player. I don't think Oubre is a 12 team league guy either. Kelly Oubre so far this season is the 134th ranked player in 26 minutes a night. But again, he was getting 21% usage, and you can say the Wizards are better than Phoenix, but he goes across to Phoenix and it's a 2-into-1 scenario. So he's going to have to, his 10.5 shot attempts that he was taking this season, he comes in with Rivers and they're replacing whatever Ariza was taking in terms of his shot attempts, which are only 8.7. So you've got to try and work out if someone's losing shot attempts. Is it going to be Booker, Warren, Ayton? Or is it going to be Oubre and Rivers losing a couple, and Bridges and Jackson and all those guys losing a couple of shot attempts, which will reduce his value back down? If there's anyone I would take a flyer on in terms of adding, again, I would hold Melton and Jackson if I had them, just to see how this plays out. I would add Oubre over Rivers if I was considering doing that in any league, but I just don't see Kelly Oubre, a guy who just gets no No assist, averaging 0.7 assists per game, which is putrid. 0.9 blocks, not that great. 0.9 steals, 0.7 blocks, shooting 43 and 31%. He cannot shoot the three. He's not a good shooter. His last few games have been impressive, no doubt. He's been a top 85 player, playing 29 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks, that is Kelly Oubre, on 51% shooting and 41% from three. Those numbers aren't going to stick. And again, how is he going to maintain this level of usage when we're trying to squeeze it into this Suns team who do have a lot of high usage players? I'm not certain that he is an excellent add on this Phoenix team. So while, you know, on the periphery some things change, it does decrease some of the upside for Jackson, some of the upside for Oubre, some of the upside for Melton. I think that's probably going to be the biggest impact on the Phoenix side. It's just a lot of upside disappears for these players. I would still hold. I think that Melton's ability to get defensive numbers, rebounds, and assists, and if they stick with him over Rivers, again, I can't state this enough, that they absolutely should. They are going nowhere at all this season. Why don't you develop one of your prospect players rather than 26-year-old Austin Rivers, who's shown in four or five teams that he's not good enough to be an NBA caliber starting point guard? We will see what Kokoschkov does in that situation. So I'd hold Melton. I'd consider Jackson and Oubre, they're fringe 12-team guys, but no must roster guys, and Rivers, I wouldn't be all that comfortable with adding him. On the Washington side, well, they lose the two. So Ariza comes in and has to take two people's role. That means someone else gets a bump. As I talked about earlier, they have no guards. So Tomas Satoransky is going to be playing pretty much all of the backup 1 and 2 minutes. They might push a little bit of Troy Brown in there. He's played barely at all this season. They'll maybe try and push Ariza to the two somewhat. Now, Satoransky, I think, can be a top 150 player this season. I think he's a must-roster 14-team league guy, just because of those lack of guards, and he's going to have to absorb way more playing time to take a lot of Rivers' minutes. Pretty much all of Oubre's minutes are going to go to Ariza, plus a couple more, but then Satoransky gets his own minutes, plus Rivers' minutes. So he should be playing 25-plus a night. I think you're going to have Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
He might get a little bit of extra playing time here as well. And Ariza should get a bit of a bump also. He, for as weird as it sounds, I think Ariza actually gets a usage increase in Washington. Again, 2-for-1. More shots opening up. Oubre and Rivers' shots are gone. Ariza's going to take some of those. And while I haven't been keen on Ariza as a player this season, I actually like him more in Washington than I did in Phoenix. And I do think that he can be a solid enough 12-team guy with pretty limited upside, but 2.5 threes, 1.5 steals. The percentages are going to be a concern. 12 to 14 points, I think that's realistic for Ariza, and that's fine for 12-team leagues. So while I was souring on him in Phoenix and I didn't like what he was doing because he hadn't been really successful at all, this season hadn't been strong, averaging under 10 points per game, but giving you 2 threes and 1.5 steals. I think he can do that, and I think he can be improved in other areas. I think he is a solid guy to have a look at and add. He's only rostered in 66% of leagues, so he is available in certain situations. Now, for the rest of the Wizards guys, Otto Porter, it probably solidifies him just a little bit, but nothing major there. And then not much else really changes. Troy Brown would be a very, very deep league player. 20 teams, but more dynasty type format. Jeff Green gets a marginal bump. Not a lot changes here, except I do think that it does help Ariza somewhat. It helps Jeff Green marginally, but the biggest winner, I guess, in Washington is Tomas Satoransky, just because they have no guards on this team, and he is going to have to absorb backup 2 and backup 1 minutes, and rightfully so, because he was significantly better than Oubre and better than Rivers, and now he's going to be getting those minutes, and then Ariza comes in and this will move Satoransky out of the starting lineup, no doubt, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing for him. He was playing about 25 a night as the starting small forward. He could easily get more than that now as the backup 1-2. More moves could be coming. They could be looking at other type of guards to come in and try and alleviate some of this burden on these players like Wall and Beal, considering if one of them get hurt, they are in real, real trouble in that backcourt depth. But it is an interesting scenario, the fact that they just don't have any of these backup guards on this team. So we'll see how this all goes down. I don't think it's a massive game changer in terms of fantasy. It's more going to have impacts in deeper type formats. Your 14 teamers are where Oubre and Bridges and Jackson are going to take hold. Your 16 teamers for Rivers and Ariza is really the only must roster 12 team guy, although I am holding Melton, and I'd probably still hold Josh Jackson as well. And if you do have any of these guys like Jackson, like Melton, like Bridges, like Oubre, You just hold them and you see how this pans out. It's not that big of a change. They could, yeah, they could bring Rivers in and play him 18 minutes a night. They could bring Oubre in and play him 30 minutes a night and drop Jackson down to 18 minutes a night. There are many different ways that the Suns can go with this. So if I had these guys, I would hold them, and you know, individual add drop questions just depends on which who the player is that you're actually adding and dropping. That'll do it for today's bonus episode. I'll be back tomorrow to recap all of Sunday's action, to preview Monday's games, and look at Week 10 in the NBA. Guys, thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.